So a little review about Jonah. Last week we talked that God went to Jonah. Jonah was a prophet, and that means he was called by God to share what God said to people. Most of the time it was to the Israelite people. In Jonah's case, God was asking Jonah as a prophet to go share the word of God, go share, call the enemy, the Israelites' enemies, to repent and turn to God. Nineveh was the place that Jonah was supposed to go. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria at the time, and that was who was going to capture, who did capture Israel years later. So Jonah, he did not like the Ninevites. He didn't want to go there. He didn't want them to repent. So God says, arise and go to Nineveh. And he arose and went in the total opposite direction. As far as he was headed to the farthest place that you could travel at that time, which would have been Tarshish. Okay? So that's where we're at. So that was Jonah's response to God. Now we're going to hear God's response to Jonah for this. But the mariners on the ship that Jonah was on, so Jonah jumped on the ship, and these mariners, these sailors, were on the ship, and they were headed to Tarshish, and the scripture says that God sent a mighty wind, a storm, and the mariners on the ship were afraid. They were frightened. In chapter 1, it's the word fear, afraid, or reference to the word afraid is mentioned multiple times. And that's really what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about fear and how these mariners experienced fear and how their fear changed as they experienced God. But the first question I have for you this morning is, what are you afraid of? I know some of us are afraid of spiders. I know my wife is. Anytime she sees anything that resembles a spider, I have to get a napkin and clean it off the wall or the ceiling. Some of us are afraid of snakes or other things. Some of us are afraid to speak in front of other people or things like that. When my brother was younger, a teenager, my family, my mom and dad retired. My dad retired from GM. And they were living in Swartz Creek, and they wanted to move back to their home state, which was North Carolina. My dad came up here to work in the shop. My brother was the only one of us four siblings that was still in school, and he had to move with them. So I don't know how, he wasn't too happy about it at the time, but he adjusted and did well there. But my mom and dad lived out in the boonies. They bought a house out in the middle of nowhere. And across the street from their house was this creek. And my brother was down there one day. He was telling me the story. He was throwing rocks in the creek, goofing off. And he said he sat down on this boulder there that was there by the creek. And he said it felt weird, like it was moving or something. So he stepped back and he flipped it over. Wouldn't you know, there's a copperhead snake right there under the rock. And it's like striking at him. And he's like backed up to the creek. He don't want to get wet. And there was some fear going on there, right? Right? I probably would have just died out of fear for that. You know, I don't like snakes, but anyways, there was some fear going on there, okay? That's the type of fear that the mariners had originally. The first place that our scripture talks about the mariners being afraid is Jonah 1:5. And it says this, that the mariners were afraid. So the storm came, and then God sent the storm, and then it says the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and God is not capitalized. It's a small g. That means it wasn't the God of Israel. It wasn't the one true God. And they hurled the cargo that was on the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So as we go through this, you're going to see how these mariners, these pagan men, respond to what's going on. And we're going to see how Jonah responds. And it seems like they're more of an example than Jonah is as a prophet of God, as how to live for God. So right off the bat, we see these sailors afraid of the storm. And this storm had to be bad because these sailors were afraid, and they sailed all the time. And I shared this last week. But I think there was something supernatural about this, and it was supernatural because who caused it? Our God did. God sent this wind, and he caused this storm. And I think the sailors sensed that, and they prayed to their God. And most likely the God that these sailors were praying to was Baal Shemen. And what that means is the Lord of Heaven, and small L it is. But they sacrificed the cargo on the ship. Look, this is this cargo. They hauled it from Joppa, and they were taking it to Tarshish, and they were going to make money. This is how they were making money, this cargo. They tried to save themselves, and they're hurling it over the side. And in the meantime, Jonah has no care at all. He's asleep. He's asleep in the bottom of the ship. And the captain of the ship is also fearful, we're going to see, because he goes down and he wakes Jonah. In Jonah 1:6, it says, "So the captain came and said to Jonah, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." So the captain wakes Jonah. He actually kind of criticizes him, like, what are you doing asleep? And because the captain, he was fearful as well. This is a reference to fear. He's worried they're going to die. He is afraid as well. And he has more experience than the sailors. So for him to be frightened like this, the storm had to be crazy. At this point, the sailors had prayed to their gods to no avail. They had thrown the cargo over, hurled it over the side, they says, into the sea, no avail. They did this to lighten the ship, and that had no avail. That ship was being tossed around like a tin can. And the sailors believed that someone on board was to blame. They couldn't have been more right. So they tried to figure out who this was. And we look in chapter 7, or verse 1, chapter 7, and it says, at this time Jonah is on the deck with the sailors, and it says, "And they said to one another," talking about the mariners or the sailors, "Come, let us cast lots, so that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So the men on board, so we have to kind of understand what casting lots means to understand this. And casting lots to me is kind of like, I thought of a magic eight ball. You ever seen one of these? So you ask it a crazy question, like I can say, "Gary, are you going to Cozumel for lunch today?" Let's see what it says. "Yes, definitely. Praise the Lord." Right? So that's kind of what casting lots is. It's like a game of chance. But most likely, they had stones that were painted different colors. Okay? And what they would do is they would roll these like dice. And if, depending on what colors came up, is how they knew what the lot fell on. So they would ask a question like, "Is Jonah and his God responsible for this storm?" Okay? If two dark colors came up, the answer was no. Roll again. If a light and a dark color came up, it meant roll again. And if two light colors came up, the answer was yes. Wouldn't you know it? The lot fell on Jonah. It fell on Jonah. Was it by chance? Absolutely not. Right? It was God. It was under God's sovereign control. Now, I'm not standing up here telling you should go buy a magic eight ball to see what God wants you to do. Don't get this wrong. Right? We should be asking God, What do you want me to do? We should be in his word. But this was a common practice at the time. But look, God is sovereign. He's in control of all things. Proverbs 16:33 says, the lot is cast onto the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Every decision is from the Lord. God's in control of all things. And he wasn't only in control of the storm that was going on, but he was in control of this game. He caused the storm. And he caused the lot to fall on Jonah. Was God punishing Jonah here? Or did he have an agenda for Jonah? I think both. I think he was, but I think the main purpose of these two things and everything that was going on with Jonah was to cause him to repent, to bring him to a place where he understands. So what is repentance? It's realizing that our way is wrong and God's way is right. Look, to be saved, to come to faith in Jesus, we have to understand those two things. But repentance is when we understand that and we turn from our way 180 degrees to God's way. That is repentance. Changing our mind and turning to God. That's repentance. And that's the purpose for the storm. That's the purpose for the casting of the lots. Look, God loved Jonah. Jonah was a jerk. As we go through the story, I'm amazed what's happening here. That he's a man of God, but he's still a jerk. And he makes terrible decisions. But it didn't change God's love for him. He was a man of God, and God loved him. And guess what? God chased after him. Even in his rebellion, God was chasing him. Come back to me, Jonah. Come back. And God loves us too. If we're believers and we're running from God, if there's something in our life that God wants us to change and come back to him, he's going to chase us. He's going to have his Holy Spirit convict us. And have this guilt that we know that we're not doing the things God wants us to do. And sometimes, just like Jonah, when we're fleeing from God or we're not where God wants us to be, God's going to allow hardships in your life. Why is he doing that? He wants you to turn around, just like he wants Jonah to turn around. He wants you to repent. Look, when the lot fell on Jonah, the sailors, they kind of freaked out a little bit. And they started asking Jonah all these questions. Let's look at Jonah 1, 8 through 12. It says, then they said to him, the sailors said to Jonah, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? And Jonah said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid. They were afraid of the storm, but now they realize this God of heaven is in control of all of this. They're exceedingly afraid, and they said to Jonah, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because Jonah had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. Bear with me there. He said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. So Jonah says, like right off the bat, he's more proud of being of his nationality than he is of him fearing the Lord. He says, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. The Lord, you know, the Lord who made the sea and the dry land. The one who brought the wind, the one who created everything. That's what Jonah's saying. And he's saying this with the capital G and a capital L. This is the one true God he's talking about. And the sailors became more afraid. They're like, dude, what have you done to us? What, we're like innocent in all this, and now we're stuck in the storm. Dude, what are you doing? In the sailors' fear, they began to fear Jonah's God. Their fear changed here, I believe. They weren't no longer afraid of the storm. And it wasn't like my brother's type of fear that he was afraid of the snake. They started fearing God, the God of judgment. They were fearing his judgment. They seen his wrath happening all around them, and they knew that the wrath was because of Jonah's sin. Like, as a non-believer, somebody who don't know Jesus, that's the type of fear that we would have as a non-believer would be of God's judgment. Because when we don't know Christ, we're in the storm of sin. And we're separated from God. And if we die in that place without forgiveness, without accepting his son Jesus, we are going to spend eternity away from God in a place called hell. And I know people don't like me to talk about hell, but I have to be honest with you. We're headed for a bad place. Honestly, I'm standing here right now warning you. For a non-believer, that's the fear that we should have for God. But for a believer, our fear should be different. And this is the type of fear that begins to change in these believers' hearts. And it's this. A fear for a believer is being thankful to God, first of all. Being reverent to God. Being in awe of God's power. Do you think those sailors were seeing the power of God? Oh my gosh. It had to be terrible. In Hebrews 12, 28 and 29 says it this way, talking about the fear that we should have as believers. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. It is a fear of with reverence. It's a fear that causes worship. It's a fear that causes change. Not that we're scared, because we're in awe of who God is when we really experience him and make him our Lord. I believe that the sailors were in fear of God's judgment here. They could see it. And unlike Jonah, who claimed to fear the Lord, I don't see that, right? He says, the sailor says, what should we do to you that the storm will calm down? The logical thing would have been for Jonah to say, I've been running from God. God, you're right. I need to turn back to you. Let's turn the ship around and head back to Joppa so I can do God's will. It's not what he said. He said, throw me overboard. Throw me overboard. He was more willing to die than to turn back to God. More willing to die than to turn back to God. And we see this all through the book. He's so bent on not going to Nineveh, that he's absolutely rejecting God and even to the point of death. And we sat here, and you know, when I'm studying, I'm thinking this. Why didn't he just repent? Why didn't he just turn back to God? Why didn't he just do it? But then I have to look at myself, and maybe you can do this too. We're the same way. There we are. We come here, and we may even possibly know what God's calling us away from or calling us to, yet we won't repent and do it. We're willing to stay there instead of turn to God. Are you with me? God may be calling you to serve here in the church, and Lord knows we need help. It seems like everything's going great, which it is, but we need help. People are stuck down there working all the time. They don't have the opportunity to come in here. So if you're able to do that, we would appreciate it. But maybe God's calling you to serve. Maybe he wants you to get involved in a growth community or a Bible study. Maybe he wants you to get involved in a discipleship class. We offer all of that here. But we refuse. We refuse to do what God's calling us to do. No, I'm staying here. I'm not going to turn and do what you want me to do. I'm going to do my thing. Maybe there's some kind of sin in your life. There's people, lots of people. Like, I go to camp every year and I hear this from multiple kids. I struggle with pornography. Maybe you're struggling with pornography. Maybe you need to change your lifestyle. And maybe God's calling you to do that. I don't know where you're at. Some of us are living openly in sin. Maybe there's a relationship in your life you need to get out of. Maybe there's a relationship in your life you need to make right with God. And there may be something in your life that's just an idol that God wants you to move from. It may not even be a sin, but it's something that you're putting before God. And God's calling you, and you know what it is. And honestly, you're probably sitting here right now if you're dealing with something, and you know exactly what it is, and you're feeling convicted right now. We come here on Sunday, we hear the scripture. Maybe you're reading it. Maybe you're even in a Bible study. But I have people tell me this all the time. I will show them right in scripture, this is the truth. Look, do you believe this is God's word, his revelation to us? Do you think it's inerrant? Do you think this is God speaking to us directly? If there's something in the scripture that you disagree with, you're not disagreeing with me. You're disagreeing with our God, right? And we hear God's word, and we want to pick and choose what we believe out of the scripture. I'm just going to say this. That's crazy as Jonah is. It is. We have, if this isn't all true, how can we rely on any of it? God doesn't save us so we can keep on living the way we are. And I'm sorry, there's some people that believe that, but that is not why God saves us. He saves us to change us and to serve him. Matter of fact, Paul in Romans 6, 1 and 2 says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound?" By no means. What does he mean? I'm going to translate that. By no means. Absolutely not. Right? How can we who have died to sin still live in sin? God is calling us to change. Now, I'm not standing up here saying you're perfect. You're going to be perfect. Because guess what? Your pastor is struggling with sin too. It's a daily battle. We're not going to be perfect, but we strive to be more like Christ. We can't live habitually in sin and worship the Lord at the same time. We're going to have mistakes, and he's going to call us to change. And sometimes that change takes a while. Look, he wants us to give up these things, not to make our life hard. But he knows that the things that you're struggling with in your life right now are going to bring even more hardship down the road. And he loves you enough to tell you what is best for you. Do you believe he knows what's best? I do, and I honestly have seen it in my own life. And I would love to tell you that changing things in your life is going to be easy. And I'm speaking from experience right here, right now. It will not be easy. It will not. You are going to have to work at it. But I want to encourage you with this. God, when we give our lives to Jesus, he gives us a helper. His name is He is God, but we call him the Holy Spirit. He lives right here in us. And he will convict us. He will give us the strength to be able to live for Christ. That's one way that we're helped. The other way is sitting right here with you. The church. Look, I don't know what you're struggling with. And I'm sorry that you're struggling with it. But we are here to help you on the journey. We're here to come alongside you. Galatians 6:1 says this is the job, tells us it's the job of the church. This is actually 6:1 and 2. Let me find it here. It says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, that means sin, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Look, we're not to blow him up. We do need to say, hey, you need to change, right? But we're to be gentle in this. But it goes on in verse 2. And says, keep watch over yourself, lest you be tempted. You have to be careful that you're not led into the same thing that you're trying to help others do or get over. But it says, this is what I really want you to hear. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When somebody's struggling here, and I want to share this, it's hard to trust and share your sin with somebody else. Experience talking. It's hard. But if you want the help, we're here. But you need to come to us in confidence. Come to a believer that you trust and share it with them. And that believer's job is to come alongside you and bear your burden with you. Pray with you. Give you advice. When you're struggling on your own, you can call that person and say, I'm struggling, and that person can love you. Now, I know for me, I want somebody to tell me, dude, what are you doing? Get back on. What are you doing? But this person is going to encourage you. They're going to pray with you. They're going to be there with you. They're not going to condemn you. They want you to be restored to Christ. This is our help. The Holy Spirit and the church is our help when we're dealing with these things in our life. Do we really fear the Lord? We can look at these sailors and Jonah. Jonah did not fear the Lord, in my opinion. Did he really fear the Lord? No, he wanted to be hurled into the sea. We have the same choice. Do we really want to be healed? Do Do we really want to fear the Lord? Or would we rather choose our way and, if you will, be hurled into the sea? We have to make that choice. Many of us, like the sailors, we're at the beginning of our journey maybe, and maybe we think we know who God really is. And you may say things like, I'm good, I know the Lord. I know the Lord. I ask people all the time, do you know the Lord? Most people are going to say, oh yeah, I know the Lord. But then when you start having a conversation, they're going to say things like, yeah, I was raised in the church. I've been a Christian my whole life. My family went to church. They raised me in church. I'm saved. I know the Lord. I've been baptized. I come to church every week. I read the scripture. Hey, those things are great. They are great in the context of where they should be used. But the only thing that gets us to heaven, the only thing that gets us through the storm of sin, is faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus says this in John 4:16. I'm not sure I have this up there. It says, Jesus said to him, I am the way. He was questioned. Jesus says, I'm going to heaven, Thomas, and you know the way. And Thomas is like, I don't know the way. He's been with Jesus for 3 years and he still don't understand the gospel. But Jesus says this to him. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. We must put our faith in Jesus to truly be saved and go to heaven. We can't rely on our family. We can't rely on anything else. It's Jesus alone. It's faith alone and Christ alone. What does faith look like? I believe we can look to the sailors on Jonah's ship, and we can look to their fear. If we read on in Jonah 1:13-16, it says this, Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land. So Jonah had said, throw me overboard. And these guys said, nevertheless, these men rowed hard to get back to the dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more tempestuous against them. God brought the wind against them and the waves. They couldn't row to shore. He didn't want them to go to shore. Therefore, they called out to the Lord. These sailors, these pagan men who feared the storm are now fearing the Lord, and they're praying to the Lord. They see him, and they see his power, and they see his awe, and they say, Lord, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased. They've seen the sovereignty of God, that God was in control. So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. You remember they feared the storm exceedingly at the beginning. Now they're fearing the Lord exceedingly. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. You know what I believe? I believe someday when we go to heaven, you can ask the sailors about what happened on the ship, because I believe they got saved right here. They put their faith in God right here. So in the beginning, we see these sailors begin to worship false gods. They feared the storm. They realized God was in control of the storm. They began to fear God. And now the sailors feared God because instead of throwing Jonah into the sea, they didn't want to be blamed for that. They didn't want to be blamed for his death, but they feared God because they feared God would punish them for killing Jonah. And when the sailors realized, though, that they couldn't get to shore and that God was in control of all this, they began to pray to him, and they eventually decided to chuck Jonah overboard. It says hurled. So they hurled over the cargo at the beginning, and now they're hurling over the sacrifice that really matters, and that's Jonah. The sea stopped raging. What can we learn from these sailors? First of all, that we're in a storm. The sailors were in a storm and they knew it. Some of us might not know Jesus, and we don't even know we're in a storm. We don't know we're separated from God, and we don't know that judgment's coming. Romans 3:23 says, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the storm that's coming, the judgment that's coming, that's already even happening, is separation from God. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Death means separation. And the sailors, a couple of times, they tried to save themselves. They hurled the cargo over the side. They tried rowing to shore. But they couldn't do it. And us, as sinners, we can't save ourselves either. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's a gift from God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Look, we're sinners, and we can try to do as much good as we want to. We can read our Bibles. We can even be baptized or pray. But if we don't have faith in Jesus, we're not going to receive the free gift of eternal life. Look, Jonah, the sailors needed a sacrifice, just like we do. Jonah is a picture of Christ. He, when we look at Jonah, not his actions, but his being thrown overboard as a picture of Christ. He was the sacrifice that calmed the storm. Jesus is our sacrifice that can calm our storm. And it is only through faith in him and the sacrifice that the storm will stop raging. Where we aren't separated from God anymore. We go from being his enemy to his friend. And we get to spend eternity with him. How do we do that? Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And when we confess with our mouth, Romans 10:9, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, guess what? You will be saved. You will be saved. And listen, our faith, when we truly have faith, it will produce action in our life. It's not going to mean we're going to change immediately. But just like the sailors, they went from worshiping these pagan gods to casting lots to making sacrifices and making vows to the one true God. When we truly have faith in Jesus, we will worship and serve him. Ephesians 10:9 says, look, it's not, or 2:8 and 9 says, it's not by works. But if you read the rest, it says, but God has work for you to do. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in who? Christ Jesus. For good works, which God prepared before him, that we should walk in them. When we truly have faith, it produces action. And we become these followers of Jesus, and we make him our Lord. Look, if you're here today, and you're struggling with anything in your life, if you're a believer and you're struggling, trust someone who here that you know who's a believer and ask for help. Pray and ask God. Pray first. Ask God for his strength to get through this, and then ask somebody for help. If you don't know Christ, you don't know Jesus as Savior, talk to somebody with the lanyard on. I'll be standing in the back. I would love to show you what it looks like to become a follower of Christ.